What happens when we're all about the Father's business rather than wrapped up in our own lives? Here's Skip Heitzig with some insight on that.
What would happen to our lives if we decided to view everything in our past through the lens of the Father's business? See, I could stop right here in my ministry and I could look backwards and I could reminisce and I could talk about sacrifices that were made and hardships that were endured and tears that were shed. But you know what? If I just decide, let's take me out of the picture and think about the Father's business. Well, I think about people getting saved and people growing in Christ and churches being started around the country. And how can you not have anything but joy and thankfulness because the family business is extended?
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
You may have heard of the song Happy by Pharrell. It has a 24-hour video packed with people dancing about being happy like a room that has no roof. And it's also packed with a lot of celebrity cameos. When you load it up, a counter begins and you can literally stream the video for 24 hours. That'll bring some level of happy, perhaps, or it's a great way to get a very catchy song stuck in your head. But it's also a great reminder. What's your happy song? Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig introduces us to Paul the Apostle's happy song, and as Skip points out, the lyrics to Paul's song are startling, and they aren't what most of us would add to our happy song. We'll find out why Paul is able to make unlikely circumstances add up to joy today as we continue our series, Paul's Long Road to Rome. Now, if you're enjoying this in-depth teaching series from The Connection, you should take a moment to like Skip Heitzig on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter or add him to Instagram. Enjoy updates on all the latest teachings and more. And keeping in touch is so important, and we love to hear from you. Like this note from a Connection listener. It's from Lisa, and she says,
"Hello, Skip. I have really loved the Expound lessons. They have really helped me dive into the Bible in a way that I never knew was possible. I have been following them for the past 3 years now and have finished All Glory to God, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Matthew, and John, which was not Expound, but I love it, even though it was long. They are a blessing to me, and I can't wait to have a complete USB library from you, Pastor Skip. Wish I could show you a copy of my Bible notes since I've started going through the Bible with Expound. It is a true testimony to how God has used you to grow me. Thanks, Lisa."
Well, Lisa, thank you for taking time out and writing us today. And just for doing that, we'd like to send you Pastor Skip's Daily God Book as a thank you. And if the verse-by-verse teaching from The Connection has impacted you, please share. We appreciate your mail. And you can email to info@connectionradio.org or send your letter by mail to P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. So how can we find joy? The answer Paul gives might surprise you as we begin a new teaching today here on The Connection, The Family Business.
And make the connection.
There are two places to mark today as we join Skip, Philippians chapter 1 and Acts chapter 16. And here's Skip Heitzig with our teaching.
In the 1970s, around 1972, an author by the name of Mario Puzo put a book that he wrote into a film. It was called The Godfather. And The Godfather is a story about a family. And the main character is a man by the name of Vito Corleone, or as they called him in the movie, Don Corleone. He's the head, the Don of the family. And Don Corleone was the head of this mafia family in New York City that fought with other families. And it's interesting that this guy, though a killer, was all about the family. In fact, at one point in the film, he says to another character, he asks him, "Do you spend time with your family?" Or as he would say it,
"Do you spend time with your family?"
And then he said,
"Because any man that doesn't spend time with his family can never really be a man."
Well, Don Corleone had a family business. It was a crime business. But I discovered something. I came across a book by a professor named William O'Hara. And the name of his book is Centuries of Success. And he says that the oldest businesses in the world are family businesses. The oldest corporations. He writes this: before the multinational corporation, there was the family business. Before the Industrial Revolution, there was the family business. Before the Enlightenment of Greece and the Empire of Rome, there was the family business. And he reveals that several companies that are 225 years and older, that's what he highlights in the book. And he shows that the oldest company in the world, the oldest family business, is the Kango Gumi Corporation in Japan. It's 1,400 years old. And 1,400 years ago, they started building temples, and they passed on this business in the family. So from 576 till now, it's been in the family. It's the oldest business on earth. Now, in our country, the United States, the oldest business, the oldest one, is a family business back in Virginia. It's the Shirley Tobacco Plantation. It's owned and run by the Hill family. And since 1600s, it has been owned and operated as a family business. So the Corleones have the crime business. That's their family business. The Shotoku family in Japan, they have their family business. They build temples. And that Hill family back in Virginia run the tobacco plantation. But imagine being part of a company that could promise and deliver to revolutionize individuals, marriages, families, and whole cities. And imagine being part of a corporation whose product is so powerful that it works in every conceivable culture. And imagine being part of a company whose company manual has been translated into every conceivable language and is still the best-selling book in the world. Well, that's the company you're a part of. That's the business you and I are a part of. It's the most exciting thing. Now, you know we're part of a spiritual family. But do you know that God and His Son have a business? It's the salvation business. It's the rescue business. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and save that which is lost." That's His business, His purpose. I have a friend who is a director, a crusade director for the Billy Graham Organization. He was on an airplane and happened to sit next to Tom Cruise. And, you know, celebrities don't really want to engage in long conversations with people. It might be a hello, and then they want to be off to themselves for understandable reasons. They get the limelight all the time. Well, Tom Cruise asked my friend, "Well, what do you do for a living?" So my friend thinks really quickly and creatively, goes, "I'm in the security business." Well, every celebrity is interested in having the best security around them. So Tom Cruise leaned in and goes, "Really? Tell me about that." So for the next while, as long as he could speak, my friend told him all about the security that is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It was just a fascinating conversation, the family business. Well, that's what Jesus was speaking about when, as a young child, he said to his mother, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" Well, let's look at what ours is. And in Philippians chapter 1, I want you to look at a word in verse 5. We'll get to the rest of the words, but look at a word in verse 5, and it's the word fellowship. Paul is thankful, he says here, for your fellowship. Now, that's because The Greek word is koinonia, and typically it's translated fellowship. That doesn't capture the idea. The New International Version captures the idea of what Paul is saying. They translate it this way: I'm thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That's how Paul sees it. We are partners together with God. Okay. Our business has a product, and that is mentioned also in verse 5, the gospel. For your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You know what the gospel is, right? It's the message of the good news that Jesus left heaven, came to earth, lived the perfect life, died for our sins, rose again from the dead so that people could be saved. That's the gospel. That's the product. And it was that message that changed Paul's life on the Damascus Road. It was that product that changed the life of a woman named Lydia in Philippi, and later on, a Philippian jailer. So that Paul is saying, you, Lydia, you, Philippian jailer, and all of you in the church at Philippi, we're partners. We're partners, and we're partners with God. So what we want to do today here and in Acts 16 is pretty simple. We want to take a look backward, we want to take a look inward, and we want to take a look forward, because that's what Paul does. He looks backward when the partnership began at Philippi. He looks inward to the individual hearts and lives of the Philippian believers, where this partnership deepens and blossoms. And then he looks forward into this partnership spreading from where it's at. So let's look backwards in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Actually, let's just start at the beginning. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the senior partners. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for, now notice this, he's from the south, request from you all with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Okay, Paul is obviously reminiscing, right? He's looking back. Well, he's in a Roman jail when he writes this, so he's got a lot of time to think and to look back. And he does. He looks back and he says, to the first day, the partnership in the gospel from the first day. What is he talking about? The first day of what? The first day the gospel through Paul came to Philippi. And that's what he's reminiscing about. Now, here's what's interesting to me. When Paul reminisces and thinks back to the gospel first coming to Philippi, he says, you know, the emotions that I have when I think about that is I'm so thankful. And I am so filled with joy. That's the language he uses. Now, if you know anything about what happened in Philippi, that's strange to you as well. Because truth be told, Philippi was a pain all the way around. First of all, Paul didn't want to go there, right? He wanted to go south to Asia Minor. The Holy Spirit shut that door. He tried to go north toward the Black Sea. He was forbidden to do that. He gets a vision one night. A man says, come over to Macedonia and help us. Wakes up the next day. Hey, guys, guess where we're going? Macedonia. Now they go. They go to Philippi. And he's thinking back to those first days. He goes, oh, I have such joy and thankfulness. Okay, hold that thought. Let's see what happened. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Now, as you're turning there, let me insert this footnote. There's a 10-year gap between the event in Acts 16 and the letter written to that church in Philippi. It's been 10 years, and he's reminiscing. Verse 11, Acts 16. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, or as the ancients called it, Samothracia. And the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city in that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, We went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and we spoke, now watch this, to the women who met there. Okay, stop. Paul gets to Philippi. He didn't even find a synagogue. Usually he goes right to the synagogue. There's not one in that city. How do I know that? Because there's Jewish regulatory law that says if you don't have 10 Jewish male heads of households, you have to have at least 10, you can't start a synagogue. So if you got 9 of them and a whole bunch of other people, but not 10 Jewish male heads of household, you can't start a synagogue. So the Jews, in lieu of a synagogue, would meet by a river. Because a river provided water, what they call living water. It runs. So that they could wash their hands and go through the ceremonial ablutions and pray to God out in the open. So, Paul didn't want to go to Philippi. He goes there because the vision says go. He sees a man in a vision. He probably gets to Philippi hoping to find the man he sees in the vision. There aren't any. There's a few women who meet at a river. So he's going, okay, I'll flow with it. But look what happens. Something good. Verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. So she's a businesswoman who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. So first convert, wonderful. A businesswoman named Lydia. However, things go downhill quickly after that. There's another girl who follows the team. It's in the next few verses. I won't read them. I'll just tell you the story. She's demon-possessed. And Paul is really annoyed with her. So that finally Paul turns and casts the demon out, which is good news for her. This demon-possessed girl gets free of the demon. However, the slave owners who are using her now have lost their trade, their fortune-telling trade, and they're very angry. Causes a riot. Verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. This is Paul and Silas getting beat up. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, he's in the Philippian jail. Verse 25, he prays and sings at midnight. Eventually, the Philippian jailer gets saved, but he goes to a town he doesn't want to go to. One woman is there who gets saved. Another woman hassles him. He casts the demon out. That puts him in a place where they beat him up publicly and throw him in jail. So don't you find it a little odd that he goes, you know, when I think back to the gospel first coming to Philippi, I am so joyful and so thankful. You thinking, you are? I mean, it would make more sense if you were to say, every time I think about Philippi, I get sick to my stomach. But he doesn't. Now, here's why I'm showing you this. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. Let's see what he is thankful for as he reminisces. And you quickly discover as you read it that he's thankful for what the gospel produced. Verse 5, the partnership in the gospel. In other words, here's what I'm thankful for. The family gets extended. When I think back, I think of Lydia that day. And I think back of that young girl who had a demon that is now free. And I think back to the Philippian jailer and his family who got saved and baptized. Now, here's my point. Paul's joy was directly proportional to the growth of the family business. Paul's joy is directly proportional to the growth of the family business. He didn't look back and remember all the bad stuff. He remembers all the good stuff. The gospel spread. It's the same thought in verse 12 of Philippians 1. Start in verse 12. Now, Paul is writing from another prison, this time in Rome. You know, I've often thought whenever Paul went to a town, he probably asked the first question is, show me where the jail is. I just want to know where I'm going to spend the night. because he always ended up in these places. Verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me, the arrest, the imprisonment in Rome, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, what would happen to our lives if we decided to view everything in our past through the lens of the Father's business? See, I could stop right here in my ministry and I could look backwards and I could reminisce and I could talk about sacrifices that were made and hardships that were endured and tears that were shed. But you know what? If I just decide, let's take me out of the picture and think about the Father's business. Well, I think about people getting saved and people growing in Christ and churches being started around the country. And how can you not have anything but joy and thankfulness because the family business is extended? So joy, Paul's joy is directly proportional to the growth of the family business. Okay, we're Christians in this room, most of us. When you came to Christ, when you received Christ, you became part of the family. You have a relationship with God. But, or should I say and, you don't just have a relationship with God, you are in a partnership with God. Now here's the problem. I have discovered there's a whole lot of people that want to join the family but not be involved in the family business. But according to Paul, you're in the family the day you get saved, and from that first day, a partnership begins. Now, why is it that some people want to be in the family and not be in part of the family business? Well, I think in part, in our minds, we can set up a false dichotomy. We can set up sort of a philosophical dualism. You know, we categorize life. We have our sacred life, and we have our secular life. We have our worship of God at church and other Christians, and we have our secular life. We make a false dichotomy, a false division. So we might think, well, Sunday's God's day. But now Monday through Friday, that belongs to the company. And Saturday, that's all mine. Here's the truth. The family of God and the family business takes precedence and invades every other area of life. Everything. Everything from your marriage to your kids to your business. Everything.
You know, Paul's confident reminder that God will complete the good work he's begun in us is encouraging, isn't it? And that reminder is what we'll focus on tomorrow when we return with the second half of this teaching, The Family Business. This is The Connection with Skip Heitzig, and this message is one more part of an in-depth biographical tour of Paul's life that Skip has called Paul's Long Road to Rome. We have today's teaching available for purchase on audio CD for only $6. And we also have the entire series of Paul's life available to add to your audio library as a CD set. All 22 teachings are bundled together for only $94. And that's a savings of $2 per CD when you purchase the package. Learn more and order today at skipheitzig.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888. You know, strong answers are vital to sharing our faith, and this month's Connection resource is designed to give those to you. Here's more.
Who is Jesus? Investigative journalist Lee Strobel began to wonder. After 14 years of reporting, he gave the Christian faith the same attention he gave his work.
Well, I was a journalist, so there was really no problem with me picking up the phone and calling a scholar and saying, hey, I'm Lee Strobel, I'm with the Chicago Tribune. I'd like some background information about the New Testament. And so I would do that, and I thought it was going to be so easy to expose the fallacious thinking behind Christianity, but as it turned out, it took me almost 2 years of my life to investigate these issues. It really was, in a sense, the most exciting story I'd ever pursued as a journalist.
This month's Connection resource follows Strobel's research with a three-movie DVD, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, and The Case for the Creator. Join Strobel as he uncovers the facts surrounding Christianity. This three DVD package is yours for $25 when you order at skipheitzig.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888.
And if you enjoy the teaching you hear on The Connection each day, you'll love this new way to connect with the Skip Heitzig Roku channel. Browse and enjoy over 2,000 teachings anytime from the comfort of your couch. And it's free to add today. That's the Skip Heitzig Roku channel. Details at skipheitzig.com.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
When we're focused on God's business, did you know that your concerns will change from inward to outward? We'll find out why next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.